Hey you, wherever you are in the world right now, thank you so much for being here with me. We know that we live in some volatile times and we know that the world is changing. So let's create a bridge as we travel through one another's countries, removing all the labels, coming together as one people, finding our home in one world. And as we do this, this is why our signature talk today is so important. Grow through what you go through with self-care. And this will be a part two of our episode last time. So settle in as we jump right in. I'm so excited to again welcome my guest speaker, Candace Winter. Hi, Candace.
Hi, great to be here.
Thank you so much. And this topic is so, so important. So I'm so glad that we're getting back together again to address it. I know last time we talked a lot in generalities in regards to how to take care of ourselves, and we addressed different kinds of things, you know, just on a high level. But today I thought we would just take a deeper dive in having these conversations on what are some practical tools that people can actually use today that can help them to really dive in and get a better grasp on how to take care of themselves with self-care. So I know in our conversations offline, we've had some wonderful dialogue around some really great ideas and tools that I think is so powerful for the world to hear. So you're the perfect person to share this with the audience, and I'm just really excited to get started. So I know last time we talked, like I said, in generalities. So let's just get right into this and talk a little bit, you know, again about this, the mind, body, and spirit connection with self-care. And as we do this with our bodies, what are some tools that we can do that will help our bodies?
Well, first of all, this is a topic that I'm so passionate about. I believe that it is the way that we can conduct our lives with resilience and being able to manage stress with ease and not letting things overwhelm us. And yes, as much as it's such a big topic, it's also so simple to do. You know, it's adding the little things in your life that will end up just bleeding into all other areas of your life that will just make everything so much more manageable and easier and to simply take the stress out of stress. You know, we can never remove stress. We can never stop it from coming, but there are just so many little things we can do that will just make it all that much easier. So simple things that I've got, you know, that you can do is your morning routine, which we can dive into a little bit more today. Finding something that would give you energy. You know, people talk about finding their passion. You know, nobody can find their passion. It is something that gives you energy from within. So you need to find something that you enjoy. A lot of people don't know what that is. Maybe it's dancing in your bedroom. Maybe it is joining a book club or a sports club or something where you can find people who have a common interest to get excited about the same things that you do, that put the fire into your soul. Something as simple as that. Eating and drinking for your health. You know, the what you put into your body affects your mood so much. There is scientific evidence to back this up, and yet making small adjustments to what you eat can massively improve your mood, remove depression, give you energy, instead of trying to survive on energy drinks and coffee and sweets and snacks. You can really find the energy that you're looking for. Journaling, gratitude brings you so many good things. Just writing 3 good things a day. I know I'm probably just spiraling out of control here because I'm so on fire with this topic, but simply, you know, by having your gratitude, you end up being more productive. It gives you confidence. It instills a sense of peace, you know, and we can go further into how to do this. Breathing. Breathing totally switches off all the stress signals in your body. And it's something that's so simple to do. Affirmations. Again, what you choose to think about and what you choose to believe, the brain cannot decipher what's reality and what's not. So if you are saying little mantras to yourself every day, all day long, your brain actually begins to believe it, and you will begin to believe what you're saying to yourself. We're so good at negative talk, and we believe everything negative about ourselves. Why can we not convince ourselves to believe the good things about ourselves? It takes time. It takes work. Yes, we know about meditation. Clearing the mind really helps to expand and open the mind to receiving great ideas. It initializes creativity. It also, yet again, instills a sense of peace, because we're so used to thinking about so many things at once that when we try and clear our mind, we can really prioritize. Exercise. Yes, exercise. Everybody knows you need to exercise. You need to get healthy, get fit. But why? Why is it so essential for your mental health to do that? You know, and it's not running a marathon. It's not, you know, suddenly becoming a bodybuilder. It's just doing something that is so easy to do that will massively change how you feel about yourself. Spirituality, connections with other people, connection with friends, nurturing friendship is hugely important for helping with depression. Sleep is so important. It has so many great benefits. And I want to go into how to get a good sleep routine that you can, again, find sleep without pain, at least sleeping tablets and anything that's going to knock you out, watching TV late at night or drinking alcohol to help you fall asleep, which eventually just wakes you up in the night. And it's just a spiral that can be changed. And if you just do little things, we're not asking you to do these huge, massive changes. It's doing the smallest things that will eventually lead to better habits, because everything that we do in life is a habit. And if we can change the negative habits that are not helping us, although we're doing them to help us, you can just change how you feel.
Yeah, and that's quite a list. I mean, right off the top, you rattled off, I think, about 7 things. Which is, well, this is what, yeah, this is what the audience needs, are these tools. And so I just want to go back to where you started with the food. So I know everybody knows this, that what they put into their bodies is so important, because if you're eating junk, you're going to feel like junk, right? So if you're eating healthy, you're going to feel healthy. But I think it's important to remind people that what they do put into their bodies is really, really important. So drinking a lot of water right now, just removing the toxins from our bodies is so important, because when you're going through a very stressful time, you don't want to be taking in alcoholic beverages consistently and things like that, because you do want your body to be as strong as possible all the time, right? So additional to that, are there any, so when you think of foods, like, are there any suggestions of foods that help maybe alleviate, you know, chronic, I don't know, like things like illness or depression or different kinds of things? So if we could take a deeper dive into this topic, that would be great.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to explain that your food directly affects your mood. Okay. And not simply with what people expect with the sugar highs and lows that you would get from eating sugary junk food. It's essentially, you need to be eating food that stimulates good bacteria in your gut, because this bacteria ends up being related to your immune system, which is connected to your brain, which then gives you your mental health. Now, there are certain, when you eat sugar and alcohol and really high calorie but nutritionally deficient food, you are increasing the inflammation in your body. Now, we're not talking about a swollen joint where there is proper inflammation. We're just talking about general inflammation where your body is out of sync, your levels are imbalanced. And as a result, your gut breaks down. It's got this membrane throughout your gut, which is protective. It's tied into your immune system. And when that membrane is broken down, it allows these substances into your gut, which then affect your general health, increases inflammation. So when you're eating correctly, the proper foods, you're keeping your gut healthy. you are helping your good bacteria to flourish, which helps with your digestion, your immune system, and all of that. And the wonderful side effect of all of that is that it puts you in a good mood. Okay, so eating good foods is going to help to remove depression, which is obviously a massive, I would say, pandemic that so many of us are experiencing at the moment. So I have a list of 9 foods that are really important to include in your diet as much as you can. Fatty fish, you know, obviously high in your omega-3s. These are essential fats that your body needs, and it improves your brain's cell membrane fluidity. So it improves your brain development and the cell signals, the signaling that goes through in your brain. That is why your omega-3s are so important. So it really helps with the whole nervous system.
Okay. Can you have a supplement, and will that be okay, or does it have to be from fish?
It is better to get it from fish. I mean, obviously, if there's no other way, if you're absolutely one of those people that, oh no, I don't eat fish and I will never contemplate eating fish, then yes, please do get supplements. But obviously, proper, you know, clean food is the best thing to go for. I mean, everyone's different. For me, supplements, I don't do supplements. I believe that your diet is where everything should come from. But obviously, there are brilliant supplements out there if you can't get your hands on them. So do what suits you, but omega-3s are very important. And again, they're important for your, you know, your inflammation in your body. Funny enough, dark chocolate is another good mood boosting food to be taking in. It's got mood boosting compounds. It increases blood flow to the brain. It reduces inflammation. It improves your brain health and mood regulation. So who wouldn't want to eat dark chocolate? Now, I'm not talking about milk chocolate or white chocolate. It has to be dark chocolate. But at least, you know, again, it's a treat, but a healthy one. So you can kind of get your mind wrapped about that one. Another really important thing to be eating is fermented foods. They're very much your probiotics. So if you can get things into your diet like sauerkraut, kimchi, I don't know if anyone's heard of kimchi before. It's basically fermented cabbage that would be very popular. People would eat it in South Korea. I was there last year and I practically lived on the stuff. Yogurt, kefir, kombucha, all those things stimulate healthy bacteria in your gut, which increase your serotonin levels. It improves your mood, reduces your stress response. It stimulates your appetite, your sexual drive. 90% of the body serotonin is produced from your gut microbiome. So it is really, really important to get those probiotics in your system.
Wait. Back up. What did you just say there?
basically, you know, when you have good bacteria in your body, it has everything going on for you. So yes, it improves your mood. It reduces your stress. It gives you good appetite control. It increases sexual drive. And it's 90% of the body's serotonin is produced in the gut. So it really pays to eat. I'm not a fan of sauerkraut, and I'm trying to force myself to like it because I know now that health benefits outweigh the taste. But it's really an important thing to do. And to take maybe a teaspoon of sauerkraut in your diet a day, like for all the benefits, why not, you know?
Is it okay to put a little brown sugar on it or something like that just so you can taste it, you know, make it palatable?
I mean, if you can hide it in your diet in any way that, you know, makes it more, I mean, yogurt's an easy way to get good bacteria into your diet, obviously. And antibiotics, that's where antibiotics come in. You know, antibiotics definitely have their place and they're very necessary. But they are overprescribed. And if you think about how it can really impact your healthy bacteria, which is common knowledge, everyone knows that, you know, you've got to really make sure that, you know, you do need the antibiotics before we go and consume them. You know, I think sometimes we just go for antibiotics because, you know, it's the done thing. And, you know, there is this fear of antibiotics losing their efficacy, you know. So yes, again, you're going to be boosting your immune system if you're eating right. So that'll also, you know, ensure the less need of needing antibiotics. So yes, bananas. Bananas are great mood shifters. They do have sugar, which is going to give you energy. They've got vitamin B6 and fiber, and they improve the mood. So if you need some mood boosting or some a quick pick-me-up, bananas are a really good way to go. Oats are really good. They release a stable amount. You know, I'm getting my words twisted here. They release sugar gradually, so you don't have your up and downs with your highs and your lows. And it decreases mood swings and irritability. So oats are a really good thing to have in your diet. Berries, they're antioxidants. They reduce inflammation. They're associated with improving depression and other mood disorders. So berries, strawberries, raspberries, blueberries, blackberries, you know, they really are essential in your diet. Nuts and seeds, they're brilliant. They have amino acids that help produce serotonin. So a handful of nuts a day, brilliant thing to have. Coffee. Coffee increases your alertness and your attention, so you don't have that overwhelming fatigue where you want to go and reach for the sugar. It improves your neurotransmitters such as dopamine and norepinephrine. So it really is a good stimulant. Obviously not too much, everything in moderation, but having your one or two cups of coffee a day is actually helpful for your mood. Beans and lentils, your vitamin B, vitamins simply helps with mood disorders, depression. So the most important thing is trying to get your rainbow of five fruits or veg a day. Essentially, if you can, try and eat within a 12-hour window. So if you wake up at 7, have your breakfast at 7, but you finished eating by 7 p.m. that evening, you do your gut a huge favor by giving it a break from food. That's where it repairs, it restores, it improves your immune function. You know, so I don't want to call it fasting because it's not fasting, but if you can just eat your meals within a 12-hour window, again, you will massively improve the health of your gut and therefore your mood. Okay. What else can I say? Depression, you know, they feel has come and is a result of increased inflammation. So even if you have they've discovered that if you have high inflammation levels in your body, antidepressants aren't going to work. You know, you actually need your diet to be good. Diet, inflammation is affected by diet, sleep, exercise, stress, lack of sun. All of those can bring on excess inflammation and ill health.
Yes. So let me ask you about inflammatoes. Tomatoes and eggplant.
Yeah.
All of those are inflammation foods that cause inflammation in the body.
So, and wheat. Wheat is another one.
And wheat. Okay. So now would you recommend removing that from your diet? Or is that something you should still keep in your diet? Because I know there's a lot of benefits to tomatoes and peppers and, you know.
Okay. Well, for me personally, I have arthritis that we spoke about last week, and I have removed all of that from my diet. I don't eat any of those. And as a result, my body is well. You know, I have no pain anymore. I don't feel like I have the mood swings anymore. So as much as I love tomatoes, I really do love tomatoes. It was hard to do, but now it's done. And again, being pain-free and having energy and being in a good mood and sleeping well. Yes, for me, yes, but that's a totally personal opinion. I don't eat sugar. I don't eat wheat. I do drink coffee now. That is my weakness, I'm afraid. that is something that I would like to still reduce and possibly get rid of out of my diet. But I would say if you can remove those, it is hard the first couple of weeks, but again, you will start to feel the health benefits and then you'll no longer crave it. You'll no longer want it.
Yeah, and I think it's just a process. You just kind of wean yourself from it, like you said, and it takes a little bit of time.
Exactly. Dairy and sugar is another thing, you know, that I've cut out of my diet. So finding your calcium from other ingredients is very important, you know, for me.
So where do you get calcium from if you remove dairy? Is that coming from yogurt?
Yogurt is still dairy. So that is a supplement that I would take because calcium is obviously very important. And spinach, you know, I would eat a lot of spinach in my diet. So yeah, I actually don't have a perfect answer for you for that one.
That's okay.
Let me just see. So yeah, your green leafy vegetables, like I have smoothies every day of kale and spinach. That is where I would get most of mine. Obviously in your lentils and so on, your beans, your pulses, your sardines. Sardines are also a very good source of calcium. Sorry, trying to find my words there. Fortified cereals as well, you know, they would have calcium in them. So cereals, again, I wouldn't eat a lot of it, but it is in there. There are different ways other than dairy to get your calcium. Definitely.
Yeah. And is there anything else that you would suggest our audience to use as far as anything with food or with supplements or anything like that that can help, you know, boost their mood or the state that they're in, you know, if they're feeling off or whatever, you know, people are all different. So I'm not sure. I think the recipe is different for everybody, but I do agree that your basic foundational, you know, approach of taking care of the body is so, so important. But is there anything else that you would suggest?
I'm trying to think if there's any specific foods. I mean, funny enough, when I'm really needing comfort food, I make myself a bowl of porridge and banana, you know, and I do. I feel that lovely sense of satiation where my tummy feels warm and full, and knowing that, again, it's healthy. You know, I put some sunflower seeds in there, so it's got the crunch and it's got the sweetness and it's got the energy in it. That for me is my go-to comfort food. I know that sounds probably ridiculous.
No, I love that.
But it is, because it's so gooey when you're eating it and it's warm and you just feel so full afterwards. And it's also such a good feeling of, you know, yeah, I went and got a nice big bowl of porridge, but you don't feel like you've cheated yourself, you know. So yeah, I don't know why that came to my head, but that is what is coming to me. I love dark chocolate. I don't eat a lot of it, and it really, you know, for anyone who does eat normal chocolate, you know how good you feel afterwards where you've just indulged, but at the same time you don't get that massive drop after eating normal chocolate, you know. So you're going to feel good, and it's really rich, so the taste, you don't need as much as you usually do with all the other chocolates. So yeah, I would say porridge and dark chocolate.
Yeah.
It feels the same thing. But anyway, yes.
No, I love it. So the body, you know, to give it the good food is wonderful. Let's move into a little bit more around, you know, this mind piece of it and the spirit piece of it as far as the self-care. So I know we talked about journaling. That was something that we talked about last time. I know last time we also talked about the breathing and just, you know, counting the breath, you know, counting in for four, holding it for four, you know, expelling it for four, just taking that time to do the breathing. One of the things.
Excuse to remind yourself, that's something that's important because we all forget to breathe. So, you know, look at your watch or when you boil the kettle or something like that, that you just, whenever you do that particular action, that you remember, oh, it's time to breathe, you know, and that will just keep you balanced throughout the day.
Yeah. And I love that technique because I just think it's so important. I don't think enough people do it often enough. I talked a little bit about in the last segment around, you know, when I would get upset about something, my grandmother would say, count to 10, you know, and it is understated as far as, you know, how we need to do this breathing throughout the day, not just when we're upset about something. So I really appreciate that message for the self-care, because it is something that helps to release some of this anxiety or whatever it is that you're feeling with the stress. It just helps to get that out of the body, which is really important.
And when you breathe, you give yourself time to think with your logical brain as opposed to your emotional brain. So yeah. That is what's taking the time to do that. It's very, very important. So
absolutely.
Breathing is very important.
And you talked about affirmations, and I think affirmations are so powerful. So first thing in the morning, one of the things that I do is before I even open my eyes, I literally just talked about this in another segment. Before I even open my eyes, I literally just say thank you. Those two words, thank you.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason I do that is because when you say thank you, you're living in a space of gratitude. And having gratitude is so powerful, and operating from that space is so powerful, because you're not taking for granted the mere fact that you're alive or the gift that you have of today, because that's all we have is today. So, you know, having affirmations to just remind ourselves that we are here today and in the present, and we can train our brain to think a certain way, because as you said, our brain doesn't know reality versus what's not reality. So even asking the question, is it true? Right now, I see so many people struggling. And one of the questions I always find myself asking is that true? And then trying to figure out whether or not it's true. And it could be that, you know, what I'm thinking isn't necessarily true, but it could be true to me, but yeah. It may not be true in the sense of being actually true, right? So just questioning that. But I think as far as, you know, these affirmations, just living in a space of being present, being in the here and now, in knowing that it's okay to be in this space, however you show up. So if you're having a tough day, it's only a moment, like it's going to be something that will pass, right? But you can help yourself through it by giving yourself these positive affirmations that, you know, simply like this, you can just tell yourself like, this is not going to be forever. You could tell yourself, I will get to the other side of this. And part of this process is I have to be uncomfortable in this moment to get to the other side.
But that is so true. Funny enough, a while ago, there's actually a number of things that I want to say here. A while ago, I heard that life is a cycle, that everything comes in seasons, and that when things are going well for you, you really need to enjoy it, because the time is going to come when a storm is going to come into your life. It's not if, it's when. And when the storm does come into your life, you have the comfort of knowing it's not going to last, that the good times are going to come again. And that for me just resonated with me, because it made so much sense that we are always going to go through these cycles. We're always going to have times where we have wonderful, memorable moments, but then we're going to have times of tragedy and sadness. And the fact, it makes you appreciate both, because you understand that when things are going well, you really need to savor the moment. Celebrate, cherish, enjoy, make it memorable. But then when the bad times come, you know it's not going to last forever. It may last a while, but not forever. And those good times will come again. And that to me just gave me that sense of, you know, I can cope. It gave me resilience. It gave me an understanding that, you know, we all expect to lead these perfect lives, that there's never any trouble. There's never hassles. There's never sadness. There's never tragedy. That does not happen. And when you can actually understand that everybody has their storm, it's just a part of life, you know, and when the good times are good, just live it. Don't be stressed about when the bad time's coming. Live in that moment, because the bad times are going to come. So yeah. are the good times. So just whenever you're in each of those cycles, just be present.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the whole world right now is experiencing this sense of it's a bad time, right? Because our whole lives have been turned upside down. They've changed. And it's so important that even though things are different, it doesn't have to be necessarily, quote unquote, a bad time. Like, it can be used as a time to go inward and do some healing work that maybe you have neglected to do your entire life because you were so busy running to that job or taking care of your kids or maybe just avoiding whatever it was that you didn't want to work on within your own space, right? So some of that could be, I just don't know what to do with my life. I don't know if I'm happy in my career or this relationship I'm in or how I'm living my life. So maybe it's a time where it's not a bad time, but a time to do the self-care, the self-work, the healing, so that when you're on the other side and things are different, that you're showing up into the world, into the space that you're your authentic self, right?
Well, that's what I want to say as well, is that, you know, you could actually take this time to make the changes that you need to make. And funny enough, people think that you need to be really motivated to make your goals, to stick to your goals. It's actually been proven that the best time to make your goals and have your motivation is when your motivation is non-existent. That is the time when you can actually ensure change. So it's not, you know, like January when you feel like, right, I'm going to quit alcohol and I'm going to go on diets and I'm going to hit the gym. And it's when you're down and broken. That is the time to make change, because that is where it's going to pleasure or trying to stay away from pain. That is where the motivation is, and that's where you can actually make the changes. So this is actually the perfect time where everything is so chaotic in everybody's lives. This is a time to really, as you say, figure out what you want in your life and what you don't want in your life and make changes. Figure out ways to make changes. Tiny changes, not big changes, tiny, tiny changes, which will then be the tiny stream that leads to the river that leads to the ocean. You know, I think it's all about perspective. It's all about point of view. And if you can change your point of view about how you feel about COVID and how you feel about the impact of what's happened, think of it as also a seed of change. This is the opportunity that you can make changes in your life. You know, and again, it may be difficult right now, but when you do the things that are hard, I can't remember who said this, but I absolutely love this quote. When you do the things in life that are hard, life becomes easy. When you do things that are easy, life becomes hard. So right now, you know, if people can make the changes, adopt new habits, they're going to make their lives easier. And these are the tools to do it with.
That's a great quote. I've not heard that before, but that is a very, very powerful quote.
It really is. I feel terrible that I can't remember who said it.
No, that's okay. I mean, the fact that you're sharing it is wonderful. And I think part of just going inward too is, you know, to your point, it can be small. It can be very small as far as what it is that you want to bring your awareness to. But I think just showing up in more of an authentic space with not just yourself, but with everybody in your presence, right? So as you go through your walk, not only just, you know, recognizing the small things, but taking that step back and really taking it in. So instead of just rushing through everything, maybe actually pull back a little bit and be more present with the person that you're with. Like, really look them in the eye, literally listen to what they're saying instead of allowing it to skim through your mind and not really hear the words or take in what is behind, you know, as far as what it is that they're saying. strengthen your relationships. I mean, this is a moment where the relationships in everyone's life has been tested, in a sense that you have not been able to spend time with people. So the time that you are spending, even if it's, you know, through a Zoom meeting, because a lot of families are getting together via Zoom because they can't physically be together, but take the time to really spend quality time. I think one of the best and worst things that's ever happened to our society is technology. I mean, if I think back a year ago, any public place I would go to, everybody was on their phones. Everybody. You would see small babies, children, adults, everybody, teenagers, everybody was on their phones. But now it's been put upon us that we need technology to connect with each other, but it's taken away the intimacy of actually having our relationships. So if anything, allow yourself to be more present in the small things. And it doesn't matter what it is, just be more present and mindful of the small things. Is there anything else you'd want to add about that?
Again, well, you know, they said what you are talking about is the heart connection, the spirituality. And a huge, massive part of that is our connection to other people. That is who we stand for. And that is what we spoke about last week. But they've really come to understand that connection is essential for depression and anxiety. And it's those physical friendships and relationships that count for so much of our mental health. And yes, we do get tied up in our lives where we don't make the contact that we should. I mean, yes, we've got great friends, but we just, well, we don't bother because we don't intend not to bother, but we just get so caught up in our own lives. So if you can consciously every day just reach out to someone, if it's via text, if it's meeting for a cup of coffee, if it's going for a walk with that person and just speaking, again, you will notice such a difference in your state of mind. You know, connection brings on a kinder world, a more compassionate world, a more loving world, you know, and again, that is what we're all aiming for through this. So people come into your lives for certain reasons, you know. We don't always understand, but once they've left our lives, they may not mean to be with us all the time. They've served a purpose. And it's really taking in that purpose when they're with us. And if you manage to have those lifetime long friends, nurture them because they are so essential. The memories, the cherished moments, you know, and that takes work. I can't remember where, but somewhere I've written about according to how many hours you spend with a person just indicates of how close they are to you. Like if you spend 10 hours with a person in your life, it's just an acquaintance. To have a good friend, you need to spend more than 200 hours with them, you know, and that is somebody who will become a lifelong friend. So it really shows that you have to put in that effort. And it's not effort because you're feeding yourself as well. You know, you're not just looking after them. It's definitely two-way traffic.
Yeah. And I've never heard that study before, but I find that very interesting that it's 200 hours because it just goes to show you that it is work and it does take time to build those relationships. Yeah.
Yep, I've actually just found it. It's by Dr. Ranjan Chatterjee. He has a whole lot to do about stress and the solution and your microbiome with your health of your gut and so on. And he was the person that wrote that 50 hours is just a casual friend, 90 hours is a friend, and 200 hours is a close friend. So it shows how much time we need to establish those really important relationships. And it's making the effort to do that. And as again, it's, he says a quote, he says, you can't begin to know someone unless you breathe the same air as them. And I think that is a lovely thing to say because it shows that, yes, texting is grand, Zooming is grand, but it actually takes being in the same room with them, in the same space. And that connection, that heart connection is what feeds our soul, what makes the world go round, in my opinion. I would be lost without my friends, but I know there are people who don't have those close friendships. And you know what? If you don't have those close friendships, then find a hobby where there's like-minded people, whether that's a book club or volunteering for something. You know, park runs, you know, people running together in parks is another thing that's so essential for just putting you in a good mood. And if you're not a runner, then go and volunteer by handing out the water or whatever it is in those places that you're still with that mood, that environment, because park runs are all about connection. They're not actually about just getting fit. It's about being in a like-minded community with one goal in mind or two goals in mind, you know, meeting up with people as well as trying to get healthy at the same time. You know, so if you don't have those super friends that you can just call on any time, get involved. Get involved with something that brings passion into your life. And that will give you your heart and your spirituality the food that it needs.
Yeah, and I think volunteering is such a great way to really feel like you're serving the world, but you're also doing something really good. And it makes you feel so, so good. So I'm really glad you brought that up, because for me, I know that's something I'm very passionate about, is volunteering. And I think it's getting into the space that you connect to that really allows you to get that energy and want to be part of it and do for it. So
it's definitely it's a terrible thing to say, because it's a selfish thing to do for you, because making you feel good. So you, as much as you're helping others, it's making you feel great. And it gives you a sense of self-worth. And when you give to others, honestly, I don't know about you, but whenever I've done something nice for a friend or I've volunteered, I'm flying. You know, I feel so good about myself. I feel like I'm purposeful. I'm being kind, and I'm being kind. People like me today. That's awesome. You know, not that we should gear our lives on how people like you or not, but it just gives you a sense of meaning and a sense of purpose and fulfillment, really.
Yeah. I love all that. And I know you had talked about the meditation, of course, exercise, your connections, and also sleep. And sleep, I think, is something that we probably should revisit, because a lot of people, when they're really, really stressed, they can't turn that inner loop in their brain off, because they're constantly reliving something that happened during the day, or maybe they're living in a place where they're uncertain of what's happening in the future, and just trying to answer a whole bunch of questions that they may not have answers to. So what would be some advice around helping people to have self-care, but also get the sleep that the body needs?
Okay, well, essentially, the first thing I want to say is that it's routine. You've got to establish a good sleep routine. And that involves going to bed at the same time every night and waking up at the same time. And also having a night ritual where you are following the same steps every night that allow your body to realize that it's time to go to sleep. So for instance, as I said, you know, if you can not eat 2 hours before you go to bed, is the first thing, because when your digestion and your digestive tract is empty, that's when the repairing can occur. And sleep will come easier to you. Okay. Limiting your screen time at night. You know, if you can go offline at about 7 o'clock at night, so your brain has time to switch off, because with the screen time, we have an exposure to blue light. And I'm sure a lot of people are starting to become aware of this. But blue light stops your production of a hormone called melatonin. And melatonin is basically your sleep hormone. Okay, so when you've got blue light, it thinks it's daylight, so it won't release it, so you won't fall asleep. If you cannot avoid staying away from screens and everything during night because your job depends on it, or whatever your reasons may be, then there's a suggestion that you can get blue light blocking glasses that will still allow you to produce the melatonin, but block out the rays that are causing the problem. If you are one of those people that like to watch TV to relax at night, ideally, I would like to try and do something else, like taking a hot bath, reading, journaling, you know, brain dumping, as we call it. You know, if you If there are all those things that are on your mind that are really concerning you, put them down on paper, get them out of your head. And that way you're going to reduce the overwhelming sense of urgency with them. You'll be able to prioritize. But if you are a person who likes to watch TV, then you need to put a light behind your TV. That will prevent eye strain and that will prevent headaches before you go to bed as well. Avoid stimulants before bedtime. So obviously stop drinking coffee by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That should be the last time you have a cup of coffee. Doing aerobic exercise during the day, even as little as 10 minutes a day, can improve your sleep quality. So even maybe after your dinner, go out for a 10-minute walk. Being in nature, nature has, I can't remember what they're called, something with an F, but basically every single part of nature has patterns that your brain recognizes, which the brain finds soothing, which will immediately help you to relax when you go to bed. Expose yourself to natural light every day. So at lunchtime or in the morning, just get out for 10 minutes just to expose yourself to the sunshine, because again, that's going to help with your vitamin D. It's going to help with your serotonin being released. So again, that's going to help you to sleep at night. And then having a bedtime routine where you have a warm bath or a shower, you stretch for maybe 5 minutes before you go to bed, you meditate, you journal, and you write down your successes of the day. I think that's a very important thing to do, because as much as the next day may feel overwhelming and you may feel anxious about what's going to be done tomorrow and all the things that you have to do, write down your successes, because that's going to give you a huge sense of accomplishment and relief. So it's small little things, like I managed to have a 5-minute conversation with my partner tonight. I got that task done at work. I cooked a great dinner. I got the washing done. Whatever it is, no matter how stupid it is, it's all those things that we never pat on our backs for. And it's those little things that we need to celebrate about ourselves, because you made the time and it was work. Everything's work and juggling. Life is a juggle act. You know, we're constantly juggling so much. So yes, write down. And actually, that is something I need to be doing more of myself. I'm great at the gratitude in the morning, not so great at success at night. And I'm really trying to teach myself to do that now. So those are little things that you can do. And one last thing is sleeping in a cool house of about 60 to 67 degrees. That is where you can attain optimum sleep.
That causes a lot of fights.
Yes. That's why these heated blankets on beds and stuff are so brilliant, when there's two controls and one can be hot and one can be cold. Yeah, it does actually. Apparently my temperature needs change according during the month. So I need to be warm. The next day I'm absolutely overheating and I need all the windows flung open, and it drives my husband. So yeah, I agree with you. It does cause arguments, but usually if you can sleep in a cool room, you'll get a better quality sleep. And yeah, also avoiding alcohol before sleep is another essential thing, because as much as it makes you sleepy and drowsy, it is also a stimulant. So in the middle of the night, it's going to wake you up, and then that's going to be you awake for the rest of the night. And then you're going to wake up the next morning feeling groggy, tired. You're going to have more caffeine throughout the day, which then again, it's going to cause a stimulant. You'll be all wired up from the day, then you'll need more alcohol. So yeah, just try. I'm not going to say remove alcohol from your diet, because you know we all need certain things and we have behaviors for a certain reason, but if you can just reduce what you're doing in order to instill new good habits. And something that we haven't really addressed yet, which I'd like to do it, because it's finding your why in all of this. Yes, we've given you all these tools as to, you know, things that you can do to help yourself feel more in control, feel more resilient to your everyday stresses. But instilling new good habits when the bad habits are easier to do, why do you want to do them? Why are you wanting to instill this change? You need to look inside and find out what your trigger is and how you want to change it. And a lovely exercise is to ask yourself a question. What should we ask ourselves, Kathy? Should we, why do I want to sleep better? Maybe that's the question. considering we're talking about this topic.
Great question.
Okay, so why do I want to sleep better? Because I want to be more productive in my work. Why do I want to be more productive in my work? Because I want to show my boss what I'm capable of. Why do I want to show my boss that I'm capable of doing something? Or because I want a promotion. Why do I want a promotion? Because I want to earn more for my kids. Why do I want to earn more for my kids? Because I want to give them the future they deserve. Now, hell, that's a good reason to wake up and have a better sleep routine, isn't it? So if you can, you know, introspect like that to find out why you want to do something, you're more likely to stick to it. If you just think, right, I just want to sleep better just because, well, I just want to sleep better, you're not going to stick to it. You're going to stay up late watching TV. You're going to have that bottle of wine before you go to bed. You're not going to journal. You're going to be going to bed with your mind absolutely buzzing with everything you've done today, as well as everything you have to do tomorrow. You're not going to sleep well. But if you know why you want to do it, then you will make sure that you do.
Yeah, that's powerful right there, because it identifies your authentic space, your authentic self. And then what a greater freeing place to be than that, because that's you. So that's a wonderful place to be.
You can ask yourself any question and you can really find out what your answer is. Write them down. Ask yourself that question 7 times or 5 times. But keep asking it until you get to the real reason why you want to do something. And that is the way you'll stick to it. And whatever issues you have in life, you keep asking yourself why.
Yeah.
And then you'll be able to find your answer and move on. And you will stick to it. It's powerful. It's powerful to know your purpose of why you want to work hard, why you want to earn more money, why you want to have a healthier body, why you want to have a healthy mind. Why you want to instill good habits, why you want to progress in life. You will find the answer why, not just a random statement of, yeah, I want to do better. It's good to know why. And a lot of us don't know our whys. We really don't.
And the beauty of knowing your why is it allows you to plan for what's ahead, your future. So you can live in the present, but then you can also plan for your future by knowing your why. And that's a beautiful thing.
So many people sleepwalk through life. So many people don't have a plan in their lives. And I would even say about a year ago, I was one of them. You know, I just thought life was just, you take it day by day, you try and do the best you can. Yes, you want to get the promotion in the job or you want to start a business. But I had no ultimate goals. I mean, my goals now are so pinpoint that I have specific days that, dates actually, that I want to have accomplished certain things. So getting a clear idea of what you want out of life is where you want out of life, and just make sure you get there.
Yeah. Yeah. I everything about this particular segment has been so powerful, because there's just so many things that the audience can take and use like today, which is amazing, because today is what you have. It's today. So being able to take something and feel less stress, just knowing that there's so many things that are ahead that you can plan for. And yes, sometimes things are going to go wrong, and that's okay too, because that's just part of the process. But having a positive mindset and having a direction and having a goal, these things are all very key and instrumental, as well as the connectedness and as well as, you know, going inward and taking care of yourself and doing all of these things. The blessings that unfold are astounding when you start to implement change. And I think part of what people are so afraid of is what they don't know. And I would say to those people, just trust. Trust yourself. Trust that you do have this and that you are your best friend as far as this process goes, and trust that it's going to be okay. And as you go through these changes, it's going to be okay, because on the other side of this, your life is just going to be more abundantly beautiful, living in a state of calm and with peace. So I think all of these tools are just so powerful, Candace, and just, you know, talking through these tools for our audience, there's just so much here, and it's just so powerful. And I'll ask you again today, I don't know if you have a different message, but if I were to pick up your earth angel feather off the ground, what would your message to the world be?
Be kind to yourself. Kindness starts with you. And we are the last people that we're kind to.
Oh my goodness. I felt that. I totally felt that because that is so, so true. It's so true. So thank you so much. And again, if the audience wants to connect with you, how can they reach you?
Again, it's just thriving-with-arthritis.com. And they can email me at candace@thriving-with-arthritis.com.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so filled with gratitude. And I'm looking forward to having more conversations with you in the future. And, you know, it's just been such a blessing. So from this side of the world to your side of the world, so much gratitude and love. And thank you again for kicking off this Retreat to Peace International, you know, platform, just as a humanitarian effort to just try to wrap our arms around the world and help people that are really, you know, in a place of suffering or just need some guidance and reassurance and some help. So, so much gratitude, Candace. Thank you.
Well, I thank you so much. And I've honestly loved every moment of this. I'm so passionate about this topic. And again, your efforts to bring relief to those who are really struggling at the moment is so amazing. I can't applaud you enough for what you're doing. And if there is anything else I can do where I can help again, you know, please don't hesitate to ask, because I would love to. It would be amazing.
I definitely see more collaboration in the future for us, for sure.
Brilliant.
So thank you. So that's all we have time for today. This is Catherine Daniels with Retreat to Peace, reminding you to live your authentic life with peace. And we will see you next time. And as always, retreat to peace.